and a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen on your own time around the clock by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app or listening online at nickcraig.com. Our show this morning, as always, is brought to you by the great folks over at The Law Group. Melissa Gott and her team, visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Well, starting next Thursday, early voting begins here in southeastern North Carolina, October the 16th. Four municipal elections coming up later this year, coming up, I think the date is November the 4th is when Election Day is for the municipal elections. And the city of Wilmington has got some big elections coming up here. There is a very important election for the city of Wilmington, as the majority of the council now is Democrats. Five Democrats, just two Republicans. One of those Republicans is up for re-election. The other, in Charlie Rivenbark, is not running for re-election, meaning that if things do not go the way for Republicans, Democrats will have a complete majority, 100% of the votes on the city council. So for conservatives, Republicans across southeastern North Carolina and the city of Wilmington, very, very important stuff coming up here later this month and at the beginning of next. And so this is what the ballot is going to look like for those that, again, are in the city of Wilmington. And for that, the simplest way to know this, even though you might have a Wilmington mailing address, is who picks up your trash. If it's the city of Wilmington, you live in the city. If it's a private trash company, then you just live in New Hanover County in the municipality. So this is the ballot that folks are going to be seeing. And so this is the breakdown. You've got Clifford Barnett, who's on the council right now. He is a Democrat. You've got Shakima Clinton Quintana. She is also a Democrat, is not currently serving on council. Richard Collier, a Republican endorsed by the county Republican Party. You'll see his name on the ballot. Sean Guerrero is a Republican, was endorsed by the county party, but has since dropped out of the race. So while his name will be on the ballot, he is not running for that position anymore and will not be taking that office. So he is out there. J.C. Lyle, a longtime member of the community. She is also a Democrat, worked for a group called Warm NC for many years. Kelly J. Roberts Jr., also a Republican. However, he is not endorsed by the Republican Party. However, his name is on the ballot and he's free to run. He is a registered Republican, not endorsed. Cassidy Santaguida, another Democrat. She ran for county commission last election cycle, was unsuccessful in that. She is also a Democrat. And then, of course, everybody fully aware and knows about Councilman Luke Waddell, has been serving on council for the last 4 years and is looking to continue serving for four more years. He is also running for re-election. He is the only Republican on council right now that is running for re-election. So very important to get him over the finish line for those that are running in the city of Wilmington. So you've got two Republican endorsed candidates by the local Republican Party, Luke Waddell and Richard Collier. A third Republican in Kelly J. Roberts is on the ballot, not endorsed. And then you've got four Democrats, Clifford Barnett, Shakima Clinton Quintana, J.C. Lyle, and Cassidy Santaguida. So that is how the city of Wilmington council race is breaking out. And then for a mayor, you've got three candidates running there as well. You've got Jonathan Barfield Jr. He, a Democrat, well-known across the community, served, I don't know, was it 12, 15 years or something like that on the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners. He lost re-election back in November of last year, and I guess wants to get back on the government taxpayer teat. So he is running to now be the mayor of the city of Wilmington. Billy Craig, who I will note I have no relation to, just happened to have the same last name. He is a Republican, a 30-year law enforcement member endorsed by the county Republican Party. You'll see his name on the ballot. And then, of course, Bill Saffo, another Democrat running there, a 20-year mayor for the city of Wilmington. So a three-way race for mayor, two Democrats, one Republican. We'll be watching that as well. Earlier this week, WECT, WHQR, and Port City Daily hosted a candidate forum. They do these for the county elections and the city elections, and they hosted a candidate forum talking to all of the candidates, again, minus Sean Guillermo, who has dropped out of the race and is not running. It was about an hour long. It took place at the WHQR studios. All of the candidates there, a litany, a variety of questions, and I have had the opportunity to now watch this thing in its entirety three times, watched it twice, pulled some clips on it earlier this week, and it's blatantly obvious who is prepared for a job like this and who is not. And it becomes blatantly obvious when you watch the candidate form. I've got some pretty concerning clips for the Democrats and one of their endorsed candidates in Shakima Clinton-Quintana, who seemingly could not answer any questions that were levied at her. Very, very odd performance from her. So we'll get right into it. Right off the bat, there was a question about the affordability of the city of Wilmington. Most individuals took it towards affordable housing, but it was, again, an overall conversation about, you know, is Wilmington affordable? What do we do about the affordability? Which I will admit is a major issue and is something that city council is going to have to deal with. Here is how Republican candidate Richard Collier handled that.
So I think it's going to take public and private partnerships. There's been many examples of that. The Good Shepherd House that's now going, or the Good Shepherd's apartments that are going up over where the old fire station was on Carolina Beach Road, that is now affordable housing. It's going up. They're very nice. The city, I think, in essence, donated the land, so it made it where they could go in and build, I think, 50 to 60 apartments that would help some of the homeless population, but also helps in affordability. The other things in jobs and schools, we need to continue working with UNCW, Cape Fear Community College, the trade school, any trade school in the near area, so because we want our kids educated. We want them to be educated to go out and get jobs and then take jobs that are here in Wilmington. We want to make sure they stay here in Wilmington. Both of my children are here in Wilmington. One of them I'm having to drag to stay, but they are both here in Wilmington. So thank you.
You know, Richard brings up a good point there, and this is often this has been a topic of discussion for quite some time. There's a lot of the time when you see new business announcements across the city of Wilmington and New Hanover County, especially medium and large size announcements, often what you see is there are not the majority of the people that are being hired by said company are not locals. Now, I'm not one of these people, and we'll get into this throughout the discussion this morning. I'm not one of these people that thinks I was the last one to move to Wilmington and I need to pull up the ladder behind me and nobody else is allowed to come. I'm not opposed at all, and I'm glad more and new people are moving here. But there is an issue with these job announcements that are made, because very few of the individuals that end up working for that company are already living in Wilmington. And so you've got a climate, and this has been a longstanding issue. Individuals move here, they go to UNCW, they begin their early career here, and then they move to Charlotte or Raleigh because of the lack of work, the lack of industry jobs in southeastern North Carolina. So as you just heard Richard talk about it, there has to be an investment, and fortunately there already is, but it needs to be a greater emphasis of trade programs and education within not only UNCW, but Cape Fear Community College, which is consistently ranked not only as one of the top community colleges in the state, but one of the top community colleges in the nation, to make sure that you have got not only a well-educated, but a workforce that is capable of working. A workforce that is employable when a company announces, hey, we're bringing 60 new jobs to Wilmington and only, you know, 15 or 10 or 15 of those jobs are people that already live here. And the rest, the 50 or 45 other people, are moving into Wilmington from somewhere else across the country. Talks about the public-private partnerships with actual affordability of housing. That is a major discussion as well. We'll now turn it over to J.C. Lyle, her thoughts on, again, predominantly housing affordability across southeastern North Carolina, more predominantly the city of Wilmington.
Ground is in housing affordability, both on the volunteer front and on the professional level. I've been here since 1996, volunteered with a lot of groups that serve basic needs, but housing I fell in love with because is. It is very critical to every other social issue and every other part of a person's life. I have a lot of hands-on experience from serving as WARM's executive director. We served over 2,000 families in my 15 years there, gave them repairs at no charge so they could hold on to their asset, hold on to their home. I serve on the North Carolina Housing Trust Fund Board, so I'm helping allocate millions of dollars every year of public money. And get this, it leverages private money so we can do more together. And I think that's really powerful. We need a housing trust fund here in Wilmington, and I would love to bring it here and understand the technical aspects and the benefits it can bring. I'd also like to use it to land bank some land that is for sale in traditionally black neighborhoods so we can preserve the history and for future generations. And on the Planning Commission, we walked away with a new land development code that both increased affordable housing incentives and protected the environment better. So don't tell me it can't be done together.
I have no idea what she's talking about with land in black neighborhoods. No clue what she's talking about there. But this discussion of a housing trust fund is something that is gaining steam on the left. And it is something that you need to be well aware of and something that you need to understand what is being talked about. A housing trust fund is nothing more than additional taxpayer-subsidized housing. It's got a good name. It sounds good. Ooh, a trust fund, right? When you think trust fund, you think lots of money, great things that can be done. Trust fund, good thing. A housing trust fund, the only way that you fund it is with dedicated taxes and fees. So you charge more for real estate transfers, right? That's a way to do it. So an extra fee when a property is sold, which is, again, a cost to somebody purchasing a piece of property. You can raise other fees as it deals with deeds and titles and some of that stuff. You can raise some money that way. But what you're doing with this, it's a hidden tax. And it's a hidden tax that makes housing more expensive. And this is always the discussion, and it seemingly is always missed by those on the left. All of their great ideas as it relates to housing always involves making everybody's housing more expensive to make some's less expensive. Let me state that again. The Democrats' attempts to make housing more affordable in Wilmington is to make your housing more expensive to subsidize affordable housing for the select few. And as a conservative, there is no circumstance where you are going to find me in favor of that. This discussion comes forward every single year around budget season. Every single budget season, whether we're talking about New Hanover County or the city of Wilmington, we're always talking about raising taxes, raising property taxes, which is the largest revenue generator for New Hanover County and the city of Wilmington. It is the same discussion every single year. And in an attempt to be inclusive, in an attempt to make housing so-called more affordable for citizens, you, as an already existing homeowner, you as somebody who already lives here, you are asked to pony up more money to provide so-called affordable housing for others. It doesn't make any sense, and it is something that is not sustainable. And Democrats will point to, oh, well, in Charlotte, they've got a housing trust fund and it's working great. Charlotte has the same problem that Wilmington does right now. They have an affordable housing issue in Charlotte. They've invested tens of millions of dollars worth of taxpayer funds into making housing, quote unquote, more affordable, and the problem still exists. You are not going to find me sitting here being in favor of essentially subsidized affordable housing. Now, there's a difference between affordable housing and government housing. Two different things. We're not talking about Section 8 housing here. We are talking about giving developers breaks, whether it's tax breaks or use fee breaks, a variety of different incentives that a government can give to developers to build housing that is so-called affordable. It doesn't make any sense. You are taking the real estate market, you are taking it out of the hands of the free market and essentially turning it over to the state. You are putting a city, a county in charge of the housing market. I don't like that. I don't think that makes any sense. I don't like when government picks winners or losers, and I don't like when government takes my money, makes my housing more affordable, makes my cost of living more and more every year to give it to somebody else. That's not what I'm signing up for. I'm not saying I don't want or need government. I'm not saying that I want to abolish the Wilmington City Council. What I am saying is this idea of just taking more money from people that are already here to give it to other people and give it to developers is essentially wealth redistribution. I mean, that's when you boil it down to its basic level, that's what it is. We are redistributing your money and giving it to somebody else. You are not going to find me as a conservative being in favor of that. And this is something that is a growing charge, a growing call on the political left, and it is something that you need to be incredibly aware of, because this is a feel-good talking point for them. We know that affordable housing, the term affordable housing and the discussion of affordable housing is a big political topic across the city of Wilmington and New Hanover County. So absolutely keep your ears and your eyes peeled for this phrase, affordable housing and housing trust fund. It's a disaster. It will cause your taxes to go up more than they have in the recent years to give money to multi-million, if not billion-dollar developers to provide subsidized housing. It makes absolutely no sense. It's not free market. It's not capitalism. It's nothing. That is government subsidized and wealth redistribution, and you're not going to find me in favor of it. Same question asked to Cassidy Santaguida. This is what she had to say.
So when I think about affordability in the city and the conversations that I've had with voters over the last couple of years, there's really two ways to think about it. One, how much do I need to spend to be able to live here? And two, how much do I earn to be able to spend the money that it takes to live here? So on the cost of living side, one of the things that I'm really interested in pursuing is establishing a local housing trust fund. This is an opportunity for us to take the money that the city of Wilmington has already set aside for affordable housing, combine that with other organizations like the endowment that are interested in building more affordable housing in the city. That way we can incentivize the types of developments that we would like to see in the city, and we can help people on the path to home ownership. Housing trust funds have worked in other cities in North Carolina, and I think it's time for us to have one here.
Nope.
On the earnings side, I've seen a lot of economic growth come into Wilmington, and I think it's important that we make sure that the people who live here, all of us who live here, benefit from that growth.
Two Democrats now, same thing, housing trust fund. And neither of them fail to either A, recognize, or B, mention this money is not free. If you're going to develop this housing trust fund, if you're going to try and load up this fund with millions of dollars, there's only one way that you can do that. You and I know what the way that is accomplished. It is by raising your taxes. It is by making your housing more affordable. It is putting the burden. And throughout this discussion, I didn't pull all of the clips, but there was all this talk about, oh, well, you know, heirs property and people that are low income that have had houses passed down by generation, they can't afford to stay there. What do you think is going to happen when you jack up their property taxes? I mean, there's all this bitching and moaning over heirs' properties and, oh, the city of Wilmington is being inhumane in black neighborhoods and people need to be able to keep their homes. What do you think is going to happen when you jack up their taxes by 30%? You think, does that make your housing more affordable when you jack up their property taxes by 30% for residents in the city of Wilmington? No, of course not. But it is never talked about by those on the political left. Never. Councilman Luke Waddell, who, of course, has been serving on the council for the last 4 years, he has been in the thick of it over this discussion of affordable housing. This is what he had to say.
Affordability is directly tied to supply and demand. Make no bones about that. City of Wilmington's only 52 square miles, and I don't think that we need to build on every square inch of that. But that does make our affordability difficult because land prices are just astronomically high due to this, the size of the city. City of Wilmington has, however, invested heavily your tax dollars, roughly $3 million a year into an affordable housing fund since 2021. Leveraging those funds into LIHTC programs that are 100% affordable housing, and then other programs that have heavy affordability metrics. We work as part of the gap financing or as part of the capital stack with the developer to produce these units, and it's been successful. I will say that about a year and a half ago during budget discussions, I found out that that fund had almost $10 million in it, so the dollars were not getting out the door. I made a kind of a big deal about that, and I said, if you guys want to keep this $1 million, you're going to have to get it out the door. Since then, we've got it down to about 2.5 and leveraged to quite a few units.
That's fine. Thank you.
Luke Waddell is the only one up there on the stage that brought reality to the situation. The city of Wilmington is 52 square miles. New Hanover County is the second smallest geographic county in the state. We have 100 counties in North Carolina. New Hanover County is the 99th smallest from a landmass perspective. You can't go east. You go into the Atlantic Ocean. You can't go west. You go into the Cape Fear River. We are a literal peninsula. So he is the only one bringing the practical reality to this situation. New Hanover County has nowhere to go. The city of Wilmington has nowhere to go. So there are two options available, typically when you're dealing with growth. You either go out or you go up. We don't have the ability to go out. There's nowhere else out to go. Yes, you can build north, and there's a lot of stuff going on up in the Castlehaine area, but sooner rather than later, that area is going to be full, and then you're up against the Pender County line. You can't go west. You've got a river. You can't go east. You have an ocean. And so for everybody that complains, and this is what has always frustrated me about this discussion on affordable housing. You'll hear this discussion time and time again. Housing needs to be more affordable. Housing needs to be more affordable. And then the same individuals that are saying this are the ones that will complain when an apartment complex comes up for potential development. The cheapest housing is going to be available in things like apartments. And I understand you don't own an apartment. I am fully aware of how this process works. Land, because there is so few of it available in New Hanover County and the city of Wilmington, land is so freaking expensive that a developer cannot purchase land at the tune of tens of millions of dollars and put single-family housing on it for the tune of $150,000. They can't. It's not cost-effective. It's not practical. You can't spend $30 million buying a plot of land and then build a bunch of homes for $175,000. There's no ROI for a developer. The land prices are so high because of the supply and demand. It's a free market economy. And plain and simple, people want to be here. The reason myself and many of you are here, we love Wilmington. It is a great place to live. 10, 15 minutes from the beach, 10, 15 minutes to downtown. Great place. Phenomenal place to live. Everybody wants to be here. A lot of people want to be here. It is a supply and demand issue. If you want to talk about affordable housing, you need to talk about density. You need to talk about going up. And nobody wants to do that. They want housing to be more affordable, but they're unwilling to have the hard discussion. They want to say no more growth, no more development. But then at the same time, they'll be the ones griping that it's too expensive to live here. The only way to get the cost of housing down, whether we're talking about single family, condos, or apartments, is by having more units available. Supply and demand is not a very complex economic fallacy. It is relatively straightforward. The more units that are available, the more supply that is on the market, the demand can meet that, and you're good to go. Prices will begin to either stabilize or go down. We have a supply issue right now. A lot of people want the housing. There's not a lot of housing available. And so I appreciate Councilman Waddell laying out the reality of the situation. We don't live in some weird utopia where you can just pile hundreds of thousands of people into the city of Wilmington more in New Hanover County. There is a relatively small amount of space that is available. And so the question is, what do you do with that space? Plain and simple. So after this discussion about affordable housing, we transitioned over to another hot button issue ongoing in the city of Wilmington right now. That is the homeless crisis that exists prominently in downtown. Here's a Republican candidate, Richard Collier.
I think the role in homelessness should be to continue what the rest of our community has, the compassion side of all of us. We all have compassion for them, and any one of us could probably be homeless if you're paycheck to paycheck very quickly. So we want to make sure we do have compassion. However, we also want to make sure that we have public safety involved in there. We can't have both. We need to make sure there is public safety, but we need to have more of the social workers involved. I think now they're looking at bringing more social workers on to go out with the police department, because we don't need the police department trying to manage the social work. That is not what they need to be doing. They need the public safety side. We also need the mental health professionals involved. We need to keep all of those involved. The Good Shepherd itself is a great, great organization, and they are doing wonderful things with the beds, with the families, and they have social workers on staff that are helping to transition these folks out into new homes.
Spot on there by Richard. You want to have compassion? We do have compassion. You, as taxpayers in the city of Wilmington, you have spent tens of millions of dollars on the homelessness crisis for 20 years now. There are dozens of nonprofits that get money from the city of Wilmington, get money from New Hanover County, get money from private donations that lead with compassion. We absolutely do. However, you can't allow compassion to cloud your judgment as it relates to public safety. And that's really what you're seeing right now. We are, in some cases, going too overboard with this discussion on compassion, and we are leaving public safety in the dust. We are allowing individuals in the city of Wilmington that are struggling with homelessness, many of those same individuals dealing with alcohol abuse, dealing with drug addiction, dealing with mental health issues, not all, but a vast majority of them. And we have allowed the compassion side of it, unfortunately, to become more important than the public safety side. And that is a bridge that you do not want to cross. Circa what happened in Charlotte back in late August. You can see the example of what happens when you allow compassion to become more important than public safety. A 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee gets her neck sliced open and is killed on the Charlotte light rail. Here is another Democrat's response to this. This is Chiquima Clinton-Quintana talking about homelessness.
Yeah, this has been...
wrong clip there. Here's Chiquima.
I think the role of city council in addressing homelessness is that they should be a leader, an advocate, and a collaborative partner with everyone here in the city. It is not just city council's job, but it is everyone's job to address homelessness. We have over 2,000 nonprofit organizations here in our city.
2,000.
And there are people here who are already doing the work. But if we prioritize those companies, those nonprofits who are doing the work, I think that we can definitely address our issue. Our issue is not as large as other cities, such as California or Charlotte. We don't have a tent city. However,
yes, we do.
Our homeless problem
Hold on
is
a second.
Not-
Hold on a second. Yes, we do. What do you mean we don't have a tent city? Where the hell have you been living? Back less than a year and a half ago, you had a literal tent city on the side of Kerr Avenue at the intersection of MLK. There was absolutely a tent city. Then there was one after they were kicked out of there. Then they moved behind Target. And now they're over by Independence Mall. There absolutely is a tent city that exists in the city of Wilmington. It has been well reported, well talked about, not only on social media, but all over the news.
Not just in downtown Wilmington, it is across our city. If you're riding on Independence and you look across from the mall, there is a camp there. It is.
Well, hold on. Hold on a second. You just said there was no camp. So there is camps or there's not camps. Chiquima, what is it? Is there a homeless camp or is there not a homeless camp?
But it exists. And I think that if we all get together and do that and to help out our homeless population.
So there's a minute and 3 seconds of a Democrat in Chiquima Clinton-Quintana speaking about the alleged homeless crisis in the city of Wilmington. She says nothing that is actionable at all. It's everybody's problem to deal with. We've got over 2,000 nonprofits. Okay. So why does the issue exist if we have over 2,000 nonprofits in the city of Wilmington? Well, how is the problem here? Everybody in the community's got to get together. We already do. We pay our taxes. We fund these nonprofits. We've done so for decades. This is what I'm talking about when I say candidates that are not prepared to lead. That's not an answer. There's nothing there. There's no actionable, no tangible item in what she just said at all. Councilman Luke Waddell, again, this is an issue he has been dealing with over the last couple of years, and he's really spearheaded this discussion over homelessness. This was his response.
Yeah, this has been a topic of great conversation in our community over the last few months. A lot of discussion, both at the city council level and at the end of the public level, of what should be done. Some of that brought about because I authored a public camping ordinance, very similar to ones that cities across the nation have been adopting since June of 2024, when the Supreme Court of the United States said the municipalities are able to do that. And basically, the thought process there was, we have a compassionate community, a really compassionate community, and that's a good thing. We have 27, maybe 28 service providers just in the city of Wilmington alone, a smattering outside of that. But I think we needed to balance compassion with accountability. And that's exactly what the public camping ordinance set out to do. And over a course of a couple months, over a course of a lot of discussion, disagreement, collaboration, compromise, we were able to, just last night, get a bipartisan public camping ordinance across the finish line, 4-3. And ultimately, I think that's going to move the needle in a big way, while also bringing in some of the social workers into our police department that's been referenced before.
Councilman Waddell, spot on. 27, 28 service providers, many of them getting money from the government, many of them also raising additional funds. They're nonprofits. People donate their time, their talent, their treasure. You've got to be able to balance compassion, he says, with accountability. I say balance compassion with public safety. You can't allow compassion to cloud your judgment on making sure that you have a safe area to live, a safe community. And Councilman Waddell was then later asked a similar question about public safety. We'll get into those details coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Some comments coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. Chiquima Clinton-Quintana calling California a city. A little fraudulent slip there, I guess. We'll continue with this forum hosted by WECT News, NPR, WHQR Radio here in Wilmington, and Port City Daily coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, I want to let you know that this show is only possible thanks to our great advertisers. That includes Melissa Gott and the amazing team of the over at the Law Group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. We're not talking about a big national law firm. They are located in our backyard in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call for any legal challenges you might be facing, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. The show is also made possible thanks to the great folks that support the show financially over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. We've gotten a couple of new patrons over the last few weeks, some folks upping their tiers as well. You can support the show for as little as $5 a month. We do the show each and every weekday. I don't know what the math is on that, but it is literally pennies a day supporting the show and keeping this program on the air. Some of these in-depth conversations and discussions, for example, this candidate forum, the most extensive coverage that you're going to get of things like municipal elections right here on the Nick Craig Show, patreon.com/Nick Craig. Thanks to everybody who financially supports the show. All right, back to the candidate forum that took place earlier this week, a variety of issues being discussed. There were two questions that were kind of overarching. One was about the affordability. The other was homelessness. Then it went into a variety of individual questions asked to the individual candidates based on things that are on their website, some of their platform issues. And Councilman Luke Waddell was asked a question about a public safety. This was his response.
Public safety is the cornerstone of my campaign. If we don't have a safe city, then none of the other things that we're talking about up here tonight matter. I was endorsed by the Police Benevolent Association because I've consistently supported the men and women of the Wilmington Police Department, advocating for better pay, transparency in their promotional structure and the tools that they need to do their job. 2023, crime in Wilmington rose by 21%, the highest year-over-year increase of any city in the state. That was due in large part to the reduction of force that we had at the police department. We're about 205 sworn officers. We're billeted for 289. There's a bright side there. We just hired a police chief, Ryan Zudema, who is absolute the man for the job. He's come in already fixing the culture of the city, already looking at salaries. I want us to be the leader in the region. Done playing patty cake with the other municipalities. I think we need to truly lead the region in how we pay our first responders, but not just pay. Also, recruitment and retention bonuses are something I'm advocating for and working currently with the police chief.
And as Councilman Waddell talks about some big time issues within the Wilmington Police Department, previous police chief in Donnie Williams created, from all accounts, both public and private information, a horrendous atmosphere for officers within the Wilmington Police Department. A survey of those officers taken this year found that many of them felt that there was racial discrimination going on in the office. Just a miserable position to be in from a police department standpoint. New police chief, he was sworn into the job just back a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't had the chance to meet him. Everybody I've talked to says that he's going to be great for the job, and I'm sure he will, but he's got a major uphill battle. The department is facing a major cultural issue right now, not too dissimilar. You know, many of you are sports fans. You know, you hear about cultures in locker rooms and players that make that culture, coaches that don't make that culture sustainable. Similar discussion and conversation going on within the Wilmington Police Department. And I would argue that, you know, when you look at the top issues in this election, public safety, which very well translates into the homeless discussion that we've had over the last couple of months, public safety is one of those major discussions. One of the other candidates in Democrat, Shakima Clinton Quintana, was also asked about public safety. This was her very short response.
Empower our police chief to do a phenomenal job, which for what he's hired for, such as building the culture, increasing pay, and policing our neighborhoods and building those relationships with our neighborhoods as a whole, not just one side of town, but every neighborhood.
Again, just seems unprepared for the job. The police chief can advocate for salaries, but it's the city council that has to do it, and they've got to have the money to do it. I agree with her on the culture side, and then this weird comment at the end about policing every neighborhood, not just certain neighborhoods. Well, you're going to have a larger police presence where there tends to be crime. So if the Wilmington Police Department is spending more time in one side of town than the other, it is in large part likely due to the fact that there's more crime in that area. So yes, I agree. You want the police all over the place, but they absolutely have to put a microscope and a spotlight on areas that tend to be higher crime. So I don't really know exactly what she was trying to get at there. I could try and elaborate, but I will not do so because, again, I don't know really what she was saying at all. And boy, you talk about being completely unprepared. She was asked, I don't even need to play the question. It's asked twice in this question. She is a fan of inclusive economic practices or economic policies. Take a listen to this. This is astounding. This is an individual who is going to be on the ballot for when early voting starts less than a week from now. Take a listen to this. And by the way, there's going to be some pauses in here. The show is still running. This is the actual pause that happened during the debate.
My first question is for Shakima Clinton Quintana. You have described yourself as a champion for inclusive economic development. Can you explain how you define that and what actions you would support the Wilmington City Council taking to advance it?
Okay, state the question one more time.
Yeah. You have described yourself as a champion for inclusive economic development. Can you explain how you define that and what actions you would support the Wilmington City Council taking to advance it?
So part of my role, for those that don't know, is that I run or lead Channel, which is an initiative powered by Live Oak Bank. It is designed to help people like yourselves or small businesses start, grow, and thrive in their small businesses. I am a champion for doing that. I believe that small businesses are part of, or the backbone of, the Wilmington area and surrounding areas. So we have people coming from all over. We've had over 1,000 people come through our doors, and I've made sure that I've connected those folks with resources to help them thrive. So that's why I consider myself an advocate for economic development and inclusive,
Inclusive economic development.
Inclusive economic development, sorry. But I also believe that if we do not, you know, help our small business owners or receive any type of incentives to help them, they are living and working here, but many are across the bridge and cannot afford to live in our city.
Well, she fails to mention one of the huge bullet points. She talks about, oh, I work with Channel, which is powered by Live Oak Bank. So I went and started looking. What is this Channel thing that she's talking about? So here is directly from the LiveOakBankChannel.com website, in which she leads, "Welcome to Channel, an inclusive small business center for minority entrepreneurs in the Cape Fear region of North Carolina. We are a dedicated team of professionals committed to empowering and supporting entrepreneurs from diverse backgrounds." Ladies and gentlemen, this is DEI manifest. This is the definition of DEI. Led by our director, Chakima Clinton Quintana, our center was launched by Live Oak Bank with a mission to elevate and foster a thriving community of diverse entrepreneurs who scale into job creation through learning and development. We're dedicated to the doers and work to celebrate the individual contributions of minority entrepreneurs throughout the region. We believe that diverse leaders is not only essential for our community, but a critical catalyst for economic growth. The issue with DEI, and there's many, but when you talk about it in an economic standpoint, and what she just said in her commentary, is that she needs incentives. The government needs incentives. So she wants to take taxpayer dollars. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of government incentives pretty much at all. Maybe you might find a couple of things maybe where it makes sense. Across the board, I'm not in favor of taxpayer incentives to businesses. I'm not. I am especially not in favor of taxpayer incentives to businesses that are only looking at individuals based on the color of their skin. And that's exactly what an organization like this does. This is exactly what Channel's doing. Now, you'll notice in her public comments, she doesn't mention the word minority. She doesn't bring that up, yet it's literally the top thing on the About Us page on the website, the group that she leads. Why are we as a government picking and choosing winners for business based on their skin color? That is so inherently and incredibly racist, plain and simple. Let's just call it what it is. It's racism. You are choosing to develop, you are choosing to expend taxpayer dollars on a business, not based on its merit, not based on if it makes sense, but you are choosing to do so based on somebody's characteristics that they have no control over. Their skin color, their race. This is part of the reason why DEI is such a disastrous policy. You have got, and if Chakima Clinton Quintana is successful on the Wilmington City Council and wins, hopefully she doesn't, but if she does, she will be bringing DEI, race-based business incentives, to the Wilmington City Council. I can promise you that she will do that. I can guarantee you that will be a major policy point for her. There is absolutely no reason that the government should be involved in that at all. Hey, if Live Oak Bank wants to pay for it as a private business, they can do whatever the hell they want. I don't care. But I don't want this kind of garbage and crap with taxpayer dollars within the city of Wilmington. If you want to subsidize business, subsidize all of them. If you want to hand out free money to businesses, hand it out to everybody, not just businesses that fit some garbage bullshit DEI agenda. That's exactly what it is. You want to make the community better for small businesses? You want to make the business climate better? Start cutting taxes. You want to make the business climate better? Make the city safe. That's how you incentivize business to grow. You don't look at somebody's skin color and go, oh, well, based on their race, this is an individual we need to give money to. I mean, how racist is that? But this is DEI, folks. This is DEI manifest. It is incredibly dangerous, and this is the kind of garbage that needs to be called out. There is no place, no role in government for this in any way, shape, or form. It's absurd. And you'll notice, not only did she not even understand the question that she was being asked, but she purposefully did not use the words that this organization that she works for, part of Live Oak Bank, advocates for and has right in their top mission statement. Huge, huge red flag for Democrats here in the city of Wilmington council elections. Turning our attention to another Democrat candidate, J.C. Lyle was asked about growth and how we deal with that. And I actually think she gave a great answer.
So there's been a lot of infrastructure improvements over time. We've been having trouble keeping up since the pandemic that made it so much easier for people to work in a wonderful place like ours. I mean, live in a wonderful place like ours and work in other parts of the country. So that we've gotten behind in a lot of our infrastructure improvements. But we have a capital improvement plan. We need to make sure that is funded. I don't know that aggressively slowing growth is possible because it's America and people can continue to move here. The city council has made great decisions in the past and has made this an amazing place to live. And in my almost 30 years living here, it never occurred to me that I would be the last person that moved here. So we do need to make room and grow ethically and responsibly. Thank you.
I've got to give a lot of credit there to J.C. Lyle for making that last point. She was willing to say out loud what many are not. And this is, again, the discussion over growth in Wilmington. I mean, you've got people, and I'm not going to specifically point to any areas of town, but there are a couple that come to mind that have just moved to Wilmington within the last 3 or 4 years. And then immediately when they move here, they start advocating against additional development, yet they're living in a housing community that was built within the last 5 years. So they've moved here, and now they want to pull up the ladder behind them and say, well, now that I'm here, no more growth can happen. I'm glad J.C. Lyle mentioned and brought up that point. I very much appreciate her being willing to say that, because it needs to be said. You can't move to the city of Wilmington or New Hanover County 24 months ago and then be one that is complaining about growth and development when you're living in a brand new housing or condo or apartment complex. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But if you go down to certain communities south of Wilmington, you know exactly what I'm talking about, on River Road, and start asking people in those areas what they think about growth and development, they will be dismayed that anything is being built. Yet they're living in apartments that have been only on the that have only been up for 5, 6, 7 years. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Props to her for making that point. Richard Collier, who is running, we talked about him. He's one of the Republican endorsed candidates. His background is as a civil engineer, and the question to him was, with that background, as being a civil engineer, how does that shape your decision making, and how does that put you in a good spot to be a member of city council? I thought he had a great answer.
So I'm not a politician. I'm a civil engineer. I think like an engineer. Engineers think logically. They think linearly. For the last 18 years, I've worked on the county's planning board, and the last almost 10 now with the city on the city planning commission. So doing that job, that particular job is handling the codes, the ordinances, what's happening day to day with the city. And it's some of the same things we're doing or will do on city council. As an engineer, though, how does my experience help me? It is because I've solved problems. I solve problems. I go and figure out how to make them. I know how to build systems. Build systems that are going to last. I also know how to build roadways. I understand how to build stormwater treatment and management. I can bridge a lot of gaps with our internal city departments that may not be there today, or with the NCDOT or with the MPO. That those are the things that my experience and my background and with my 30 years here in town, that's what I'm going to do to help on city council.
Love to hear it. engineering background, not a politician. Engineers, for folks that I've got some very close friends that are engineers, the way in which they problem solve and deal with issues is very much needed in government. I think Richard Collier is going to be a great member of the Wilmington City Council. That's why you need to get out and vote for him and support him. So again, we're continuing with this. These are now individual questions to the candidates based on their backgrounds and things of that nature. And once again, Luke Waddell was asked about homelessness. It came up a couple of times. This was his response the second time around he was asked about it.
Again, we have had a lot of discussion about this, and it was called Luke Waddell's public camping ordinance. Fact of the matter is, city manager brought it forward. I championed it. But we ultimately, in a bipartisan manner, collaborated on a common sense ordinance that prioritizes public safety and also implements the compassion that our city has. I've certainly spoken to many homeless individuals. I've talked with providers, and I've been in office for 4 years, so we deal quite often with providers, and we've got a wonderful array, constellation of talented and equipped providers in our city who we support and the county supports to a great deal. And we should continue doing that, but we cannot lose sight of the accountability piece and continue to prioritize public safety.
Amen, Luke. Scream it louder for the folks in the back. We're already investing. Again, anybody that says the city of Wilmington or New Hanover County is not compassionate with the homeless community is just lying. I mean, you can look at the tens of millions of dollars that have been expended between the city and the county over the last 10 or 15, 20 years on this issue. The money has been spent. The groups do exist. You have to be able to discuss public safety without being demonized by the radical progressive left. Oh, you hate the homeless. You want to criminalize being homeless. No, I want to criminalize pissing on the side of the street. I want to criminalize smoking crack on Front Street at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. I want to criminalize individuals loitering, sleeping, defecating in front of privately owned businesses in downtown Wilmington. That should never be allowed in the city of Wilmington, but it is. Because you have to be compassionate. You've got to be compassionate to the homeless. Got to be compassionate. So disregard that a homeless man is smoking crack next to your wife and kids as you're walking in downtown Wilmington. Just ignore that. I mean, that's not a problem at all. Disregard when you have to come and open up your business every morning to find that somebody has defecated and urinated in front of it. You've got to now clean off the front of your doorstep so your customers are not dragging feces into your business. Ignore all of that. You've just got to be compassionate. Got to be compassionate. I've heard enough of it. I'm over it. We are compassionate. We've spent tens of millions of dollars being compassionate. I have sympathy and I have compassion for those that are homeless. What I do not have compassion for is individuals who break the law. What I do not have compassion for is individuals that make a community less safe because of their own lack of accountability. I'm not in favor of it. You're never going to find me in favor of it. And I'm glad Councilman Waddell, as they continue to hammer him on this issue, continues to call it out. One of the other candidates here, as we talked about, the candidates running, Kelly J. Roberts, talked about an interesting solution to dealing with the congestion on the roadways and traffic. Talks about his background in some traffic engineering out in Texas. So a pretty unique concept and interesting idea from him as well.
So I worked on intelligent traffic systems in Dallas, Texas. What it is there's different types of intelligent traffic systems. In particular, what I'm talking about right now is called an adaptive traffic system. What it does is it sees the flow of traffic depending on the time of day in real time. Sometimes the traffic's bad at 2 p.m. It's not always just at 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. Sometimes there's a left turn that they just get stuck and the light isn't adaptive. So these are things that normal cities have that have the budget for it that look at it. I haven't heard anyone talk about it, so I called the traffic engineering people and I spoke with a couple of engineers and had a meeting with them. I learned that we have 252 traffic signals in the city of Wilmington. And can you guys guess how many adaptive traffic signals we have? Zero. You got it. So that's going to be a top priority for me. We talk about congestion of traffic and kind of getting rid of people. We don't have to get rid of people. We got to do is get smarter light systems that other cities have. And that's an outside perspective that I bring to the table. I can help with the traffic. Thank you.
Really great idea. And that's often a big time issue that we see. I mean, I'm up off the Gordon Road area, and you'll see during primetime traffic, or even not during primetime, you know, some of the major intersections up here, Gordon Road and Market Street, you'll see huge issues with the light. It only lets maybe a dozen and a half cars through, big time backups. Definitely the signaling, and as Kelly talks about, some sort of intelligent traffic system that can adapt to flow, can adapt to peak traffic in non-peak hours so that you don't exacerbate the issue, is an absolutely a phenomenal idea. It's the first time I've heard anybody mention that, and I think it's a really good one. Continuing with that, we now go to Clifford Barnett, who currently serves on the Wilmington City Council. We talked earlier about this housing trust system. He's also talking about a housing bond.
Yes, I would support a housing bond, and the bond would support. One of the things I think that we must learn to do is partner with other agencies, and I think the bond would help us to help those individuals who perhaps can't get the housing that they need, because as we mentioned, the where we live right now, it's a seller's market, and so perhaps with a bond, a housing bond, maybe it could help us with helping people keep the heir property and stuff.
Yeah, so it's going to help people keep the heir's property. A housing bond, which will be an additional tax, is going to somehow help people keep their property. Folks, I don't understand how 1 + 1 = 2 in this equation. I'm not going to relitigate the housing thing. We talked about it earlier, but a bond is a tax. You put a bond on a ballot. The taxpayers are paying for it. It's a tax. It is additional money every year that people have to pay. So there's all this discussion about heirs' property. You are going to jack up the property taxes on somebody's heirs' property to then give them money to keep the property. It's a feedback loop. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You are making the housing less affordable with a bond. A bond is a tax. You can call it whatever you want. It's a tax. It's additional money that you as a taxpayer are going to have to spend every single year. It's not the solution to the problem at all. You want to talk about housing affordability, then you've got to get real and you've got to talk about density. You've got to talk about building up. You've got to talk about infill development. Now, if you don't want to talk about that stuff, fine. But then you can't be complaining about how there's no affordable housing available. I mean, you got to look at the totality of the situation. You've got to look at the geographic issue that is New Hanover County and the city of Wilmington. 52 square miles, a river to the west, an ocean to the east. There's nowhere else to go. So you got to be willing, if you want to have the tough conversation, you got to be willing to have it. And most folks are not. To really hopefully bake in the point on how unprepared somebody like Chiquima Clinton-Quintana is for Wilmington City Council. She was also asked a question about housing. Here is 43 seconds of her. Again, you will hear a large pause. It is not your podcast app. It is her inability to answer the question.
This question is for Chiquima Clinton-Quintana. When it comes to housing policy, your platform includes a commitment to affordable and inclusive housing. Do you also
yes.
support the development of market rate housing to accommodate our significant growth? And if so, where?
Mm. 10 seconds of silence at this point.
So I can't tell you where. I'd have to go look. I don't think I've done enough research to tell you whether I would support market rate housing at this point in time. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
What a hell of an answer there. I mean, that should strike a lot of confidence in voters across New Hanover County. Yet you go to her website, you look at the issues and the priorities that she has, and it's, well, right. I mean, they just asked her a question straight off of her website. Affordable housing and inclusive growth. Everyone deserves a safe, stable place to call home. I'm committed to making housing affordability a reality for all. For those currently unhoused, to the essential workers who keep our city running, like teachers, nurses, and first responders. In practice, this means building partnerships with public agencies, nonprofit, and private developers to create housing that meets the diverse needs of our community. We can grow responsibly by integrating thoughtful development that protects our tree canopies, honors our natural environment, and keeps Wilmington livable for generations. So it's right on our website, yet she seemingly doesn't have an answer for the question at all. So there it is. She was the absolute worst performer in this form overall. I thought J.C. Lyle had a pretty good night. I thought Cassidy Santaguita did well. She had previously run for public office, was unsuccessful for the county commission. I don't think Clifford Barnett had a great night. I thought Luke and Richard had a really good night, and I thought Kelly had a pretty good night as well. But Jakima Clinton-Quintana had an atrocious evening, was not really able to answer any of the questions, and just genuinely seemed unprepared. Now, maybe she's nervous in front of the group or something. I mean, there's a variety of factors, but not like you can't elect somebody to city council that cannot answer even their own policy platforms on their website. That is something to me that is just an absolute non-starter. I know we're running a little long here, but I did want to just let this play out. Every candidate was given about a minute to do a closing, so I just put it all together. Here is every candidate, starting with Luke Waddell, working down the line to Clifford Barnett, who is currently on the city council. This is all of their closing comments. Take a listen to this.
Wilmington's home. I met my wife here. I started my business here. We've raised our family here. I have two sons, 2.5-year-old Luke Jr. and a 5-month-old Sterling. So if I've seemed a little tired up here, it's not that I'm bored with the questions. It's that I'm a little tired up here. Right? But over the last 4 years, I've had the honor and the privilege to serve as your city councilman. 4 years ago, I promised to deliver bold, principled leadership, leadership that was focused on the fundamentals, focused on public safety, focused on investing in our infrastructure, and focused on fiscal responsibility. I've worked every single day to deliver on that promise. I've voted against unnecessary tax increases and pushed back on what I would consider wasteful spending. I've advocated for consistent infrastructure in our capital improvement program, and I've consistently supported the men and women of the Wilmington Police Department and the Wilmington Fire Department. Because I believe it's the right thing to do, because I believe in the future of Wilmington. We have such an incredible place to call home. It's got its challenges. We've talked about a lot of them here, but we have so much opportunity. And I'm looking forward for 4 more years, asking for your vote in November. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, for her closing statement, candidate Cassidy Santaguita. 1 minute, ma'am.
Thank you, and thank you all for being here tonight, and for folks watching on the live stream. I'm running for Wilmington City Council because I want to be part of making good things happen in our city. I've had an incredibly successful career. I feel very fortunate to have helped organizations grow and scale from startup to global enterprises, and I'm excited to take those experiences and my leadership to City Council. I was joking with my mom the other day, who's watching, hi mom, that a lot of people get to their mid-40s and they buy a Porsche. And I got to my mid-40s and I decided that I was going to organize my life so that I could impact policy. This is what I'm going to do with my life, and I really hope that it's on Wilmington City Council. Thank you.
Next, for his closing statement this evening, candidate Kelly Roberts. Mr. Roberts, 1 minute, sir.
Hi, thank you. First, let me say hi to everybody live streaming as well. I love Wilmington. This is a beautiful city. I've never seen anything like it, and I feel like as people move here, they're going to feel the same way. It's going to expand out. We're going to get more people, and you need somebody that has fresh perspectives. I'm not sure if most of you people know this, but we don't have districts for people running. A lot of other cities have districts for city council. We don't, and the idea behind that is because you can get the best candidate. Wouldn't you want a diverse group of people on the board? There's not a single technical person right now in city council. You guys need me. You need me for the intelligent traffic systems. You also need me because in 2021, North Carolina passed a law where you can't pay any ransomware. So if you think that we're not going to lose any servers at any point in time, we do. There's a cyber war going on in municipalities. 2025 in North Carolina has been the worst year for cyber attacks, and there's no one even looking at this stuff. There's no commission. I talked to the mayor about this the other day, about getting a commission implemented for cybersecurity, and I think it's a good idea, and I could lead that.
Thank you, sir. Next, for her closing statement this evening, candidate J.C. Lyle. Ms. Lyle, 1 moment.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thanks to our hosts. I know event planning is a lot of work, and so I appreciate how much you've done to give us a venue to speak to the people. I've been training for nearly 30 years to be your next city council member, and it's been an honor to serve on the Wilmington Planning Commission and volunteer and run nonprofits here. We can't stop growth or even aggressively necessarily slow it, but we can mitigate its impacts. We can get those transportation bond projects from 2014 completed. That'll help. We can prepare our workers that are already living here for the jobs that are coming. Right now, we have 2 out of 3 jobs that are created are filled by people moving here. So there are a lot of little things that will add up. And I've been familiar with those little things, and I want to help you have a voice on City Council and help you add those things up to mitigate some of the growing pains that we have. And you're going to have pains. Those are the ones we want.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, for his closing statement this evening, candidate Richard Collier. Mr. Collier, 1 minute, please, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate all the media support and the public support as well. I'm Richard Collier, running for City Council. Wilmington's my home. It has been my home. It's your home. And I want to protect that for you. I want to be on the council to help protect how Wilmington works. You know, my policies have been the whole time of infrastructure, making sure that we pick up the aging infrastructure, the police and safety. We need to make sure that we have public safety and we have respect for our police department and the remainder of our first responders. I also want to protect the environmental side of things, as we talked about, the tree canopy, the wetlands, and any of the other pieces that go on with in the environmental realm of this. As an engineer, I've worked on all of those things. I've worked on the environment. I've worked on saving the trees. I've worked on building the right systems that work and that they last. And those are the things I want to keep doing, is building things that last. I know that my experience as an engineer will help. And I think we need an engineer on City Council. So thank you all very much for being here, and I look forward to your vote in November.
Thank you, sir. Next, for her closing statement, Chiquima Clinton Quintana. 1 moment, ma'am. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for coming. I appreciate everyone who's watching live. My name is Chiquima Clinton Quintana. I'm running for Wilmington City Council because I love Wilmington. I moved here 6 years ago. I'm not a politician. Well, at least not yet. However, I do love the city of Wilmington and everything that it stands for. I know we have a tough history, but I'd like to change that. I'd love for Wilmington to become more inclusive, for companies and people to work together, and that's what I'm here for. When I got here, I jumped right in with the community. I'm a leader, I'm an advocate, and I'm a voice for the people. I'm asking for your vote. I want your trust. Please think of me when you go to the polls. Early voting starts October 16th. I want your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, for his closing statement this evening, candidate Clifford Barnett. Mr. Barnett, 1 minute, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you all for coming. I do also want to let you know that as a member of the City Council, I've been serving for the last 8 years. And my colleagues 2 years ago honored me to be elected as the mayor pro tem. Okay, that means that whenever Mayor of Sappho steps out or something, I kind of take his place. Okay, of course, he never steps out. But anyway,
he shows up.
But what I want you to understand, though, is that I'm a person of integrity. I've been pastoring for 46 years. I didn't just come here to do this. When a bishop gives you an assignment or he gives you the keys to the church, he gives the appointment, but then only God sets up the assignments. And so my grandmother used to say, make sure that you do the things that have been assigned your hands to do. And part of working with this city, making the city a better place to live, is what has been my assignment, my task. And so I ask that you continue to support me as I continue to work for the Wilmington City.
So there is the closing commentary there from all 7 of the Wilmington City Council candidates. Again, looking at the ballot and some of the closing arguments, Chiquima really just honing it in. I'm an activist. I want to make the city more inclusive, so on and so forth. Just a terrible debate from my vantage point. This is what it looks like. You've got Clifford Barnett, Democrat, Chiquima Clinton Quintana, Democrat, Richard Collier running as a Republican. Sean Guillermo will be on the ballot. However, he is not running anymore. J.C. Lyle, also a registered Democrat. Kelly Roberts Jr., registered Republican. Cassidy Santaguida, Democrat, and current Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell, a Republican running for re-election. So that is going to, that's how the candidates are shaking out, at least in this candidate form. Early voting does start next Wednesday at the Northeast Public Library. Election Day coming up November the 4th. We'll be digging into the city, the mayor debate. There was a mayor forum that preceded this one earlier this week. We'll get into those details early next week. Love to hear your feedback and comments. What did you think of the candidates? Who was strong? Who was not? You can comment on our YouTube, Rumble, or any of our other live or pre-recorded channels as well to get in on that. And again, I'll encourage every conservative and Republican. You just heard some of the crazy radical ideas from some of those candidates. Democrats have the opportunity this election cycle to have a complete and exclusive control of the Wilmington City Council. There are two Republicans on the council. Both of those seats are up. Luke is running for re-election. Charlie Rivenbark is not. So you've got an opportunity as a conservative, as a Republican in the city of Wilmington, to get out in this election cycle and put a couple of members on there to try and hold off some of these radical DEI policies that you're hearing from some of these candidates, some of these soft-on-crime policies that you see from Democrats being proposed. It's an incredibly important election. We'll be chatting with the candidates over the next week or two ahead of Election Day, and we look forward to bringing you all of that coverage and all that conversation right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, that's going to do it for a Friday edition. Thanks to our great friends over at The Law Group for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. Looks like some uneasy weather as we head into the weekend. Hopefully you're able to enjoy it. We will be back here Monday morning live, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. For The Nick Craig Show, have a great weekend.